don't know what living is. I sure am thankful for the Lord. Glad He's here this morning. Yeah. Boy, I'm feeling this morning. I like to come to church and feel God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for being here this morning. I believe we just ushering the Lord all in the service today. And if you don't have Him, you ain't going to have church. We need the Lord today.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got Him in my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 31, if you have a Bible this morning. Deuteronomy in chapter 31. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, there's some on the back table. Or if you just let us know after church, we'll be glad to put one in your hands. We'll give you the truth too. We'll put a good old King James Bible in your hand.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy chapter number 31. We know as reading through our Bibles that this is coming upon the days when Moses is fixing to leave. He's fixing to pass off on the scene. Verse 2 of that 31 chapter, Moses telling Israel, he said, the Lord's done told me that I'm not going over Jordan. I'm not going to see the promised land. He's telling America, he's trying to bring Joshua up in front of everybody, as we're going to read here in just a second, but just trying to give you a little background. And he calls all the people, all the children of Israel together, and he brings Joshua in front of them, and he said, just like the Lord has been with me, the Lord will be with Joshua, and you have nothing to fear. We're going to the other side, or y'all are going to the other side. And I want us to look at just two verses here this morning that I'm going to preach on, that the Lord's laid on our heart about some advice, some good sound advice that Moses here had given the children of Israel, and how that they can look in going into this new time, or as we like to call it, this new year. This is our first service going into the new year here. It's how we can face our new year, and if we face it and get use this same advice and apply it to our lives that Moses told the children of Israel, we will be better for it. So if you found your Bible and found your place, if you're able this morning, please stand to your feet. We're just going to read two verses to honor God. And if you're able this morning, let's start in verse 7 and 8. And the Bible says, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and they shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Look at that advice that Moses had given the children of Israel. I'm going to read it one more time. And the Lord, He it is that goeth before thee, that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Boy, it's promises right there. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, just so thankful for everything you've done for us, for allowing us the privilege of coming back to your house one more time to come together, Lord, as your children to praise and worship you. Thank you for the songs that we sung. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's in here this morning. Pray that you'd stir us this morning and help us, God, with all that we struggle with and we stand in need of. Father, I pray that you'd meet the need of the hour here today at church. God, if there's any here that's afflicted, we pray that you'd wrap your arms around them and comfort them. Father, we pray that there's any in here too this morning that's too comfortable. God, we pray that you'd afflict them and help them to see that they need you. God, we love you this morning. We thank you this morning. Most of all, thank you for that march up Calvary's Hill, that your precious Son died on the cross for our sins and paid our sin debt. God, if there be one here that's lost, would you just draw them in? God, would you just stir them up and shake them so much they don't know what to do till they come to you? And God, we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory for all that you do. Fill our lungs, Lord, with the breath of life. God, help us to preach as a dying man to a dying world. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. His sound advice that Moses had given here, he lets us know that God's guidance and protection and His blessings will be no less going forward than it was in times past. And we can look at the same thing today and see that, you know what? It's the same God that was with them that led them, with the same God that leads us into this year of 2020. It's the same God. My Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's over in Hebrews. It says that God does not change. The same one that guided and protected them is the same one that's going to guide and protect us this morning. And I praise His name for it. But we see here, and we don't know what the future holds, and I know maybe there might be some of you here that's looking into the year 2020, and you know what? Maybe some of you come in here and you're a little pessimistic about it. That happens sometimes. It's a scary time that we're living in. We don't know what's going to happen. A lot of people are, if you read the news, that'll have you so scared to death you won't even be able to sleep at night. But I tell you, don't put your faith in the news. Put your faith in the Lord. What do you say to me? If he lived off of, like the Bible says, he gave us a warning there about not living by sight. If we do, we'd be so terrified and we'd never know what to do. Kind of like the children of Israel, they were so scared when the Goliath was terrorizing. They couldn't do nothing. Fear will immobilize you when you can't do nothing.
Amen.
That's not how the Lord told us to live. Now, preacher, don't the Bible tell us to fear the Lord? Yes, it does say fear the Lord. But He's not talking about it in such a way that we are so immobilized that we don't know what to do. He's saying have a fervent reverence for God, a respect for God, for how awesome He is and what He does. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Respecting God. And as we see, you can cut it off. You ain't got to go too far. There ain't a whole lot of respect for God going on in this world. But God tells us as His children we should. Now, throughout this advice He gave them, He told them to know going into this new time right here, we've got God as a companion. Don't ever forget that God is our companion this morning. And I'd like us to look at some verses this morning to really help you in how to face this new year. And if we can lay it out by way of outline, let's just look at it this way. If you're going to face the new year, why don't you just go ahead and face it with confidence? And I'd like to read you a verse out of Philippians chapter 1 here, where He tells them in verse 6, being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, if there's anything I get out of that verse, is whatever God starts, God will finish. Be confident in this very thing. Going into the year 2020, no matter what comes your way, no matter what you think it can be, have confidence in God. You might say, well, preacher, I'm struggling with my confidence. I've got a lot going on. A lot of things wrecking from me. I'm struggling here this year. I'm struggling with my health. I'm struggling financially. I'm struggling mentally. I'm struggling mostly with going to pride. We all are struggling. Everybody has bad thoughts. Everybody goes through trying times. Everybody has burdens that go on in their life. You ain't no different. Everybody's got the same thing. But we've all got problems this morning.
Right.
And we're going to look at it for two things. We can give up, quit, say, well, we've done our best for God, we might as well not keep going. Or we can be confident in this year 2020 and say, wherever God takes us, I know that He will walk with us. How can we be so confident? Well, I'll tell you how confident. Because I know that Jesus is my birth bearer this morning. I know that He'll bear the burdens that I give Him. That's something I can be confident in. David said in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What's He saying out there? He's going to hold me up. He's going to support me. He is everything that I need today, but He said to bear my burden. He never said it, don't that's the problem we get into a lot of times. A lot of us are so overwhelmed by burdens because we're trying to tow something that God never intended us to. He said, cast it upon Him. You know what that means? It's like when you're having something like a sling shot or a towel or even like a fishing rod, right? When you cast it, you're throwing that thing as far as you can out there because you know what? We're fishing that, right? You want to catch something in that cast right there. Let me tell you something. If you don't cast it, He fish. I'm positive of that. I'm confident this morning that He said, cast it by the day. He's giving us some more stuff about it. He said, cast your burden on God. What good is it doing if you keep it inside? What good is it doing? I mean, David, it's more than a lot hard. You can't fix your own problems. You just can't do it. Mom and Dad love you. They can't fix your problems this morning as much as they want to. Your spouse can't fix your problems. Your kids can't fix your problems. Nobody else dies for your sins but Jesus. He's the one that fixes your problems.
displaying to them your need to behave your ankle first. It says you cast it upon God and God will take everything you do. Don't think you don't overwhelm God. Don't ever think you don't make God tired. Don't ever think God's tired. You need the devil to put in your ear. What do you guys do much of God? Well, you know, you ask God to come every single day. All day long. You know, God did it. You know, God did it. He's God. He knows me to fast everything that I'm talking about. I am confident that statement. Confident. And it's something how we've got confidence sometimes in things in this world. We're confident that maybe when I was sick, God gives us better things. That this baby's going to feel better. We're confident. What if we can set our confidence being God the same way when a doctor shows up? You know, what if we had that kind of confidence to know that He cares that much about us, brother? He cares about your burdens today and what bothers you. He cares about what you're so anxious about. He cares about what you're so upset about. He cares about all the cares of this life. He cares about it. The confidence God takes over here. He's a burden bearer. Tell you what else he is. Jesus ain't just a burden bearer, but he's my bodyguard. I know that for a fact. Look in Psalms chapter number 121. He describes it there. Psalms 121, we'll read a few verses about how he's a bodyguard. He takes care of it. Verse 1 of Psalms 21. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God tells me, my God made all things. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber but never. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is always alert to protect us. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee, listen, from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. This is thy soul. That's everything we do. And even forevermore. In every circumstance, my Bible just told me that God watches out for me. I'm thankful today that not only is he my burden bearer, he's my bodyguard. Let me tell you one other thing that he is also. He's also my beacon in the night. When everything around me seems dark, John 8 verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Preacher, how do I see where I'm going? I'm going to look at Jesus. My Bible says that He is the light. And it seems like when we get so stuck in this world, everything going around us, it seems like there is darkness everywhere. It's hard to walk in darkness. But I know one thing, you can go into this darkest cave, you can go 150 feet below sea level or miles or whatever you want to call it, and you know what? If one little ray of light comes on, you can see it. That's the way Jim moves right there. He says that He is the light of the world. That's the light we have to look for. That's the light we got to look to. And it says that if we follow Him, we shall not walk in darkness. Does that mean that faith is not going to come? Faith is not going to come. But He always gives us the strength to have the faith to come from that. I believe that all. I'm confident in that today. I'm confident in that today. Confidence. What do you need going into this new year? You need to have confidence. And I'm not talking about confidence in yourself. You should have confidence in yourself. The best will miss you down. Don't have confidence. I appreciate you got confidence in your preacher. Don't put me on the vessel. I'm just a man full of flesh. I'm with you today. But let me tell you today, if you decide and make I don't know what to do, man. He challenges that's what he do. And say, no matter what, I'm going to put God first.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have confidence. Wherever He sends me, whatever He does, whatever He brings my way, we're going to do it together. He's a companion that will never leave your side. Confidence is what you need going into your 2020. Confidence. What else do you need? It's a good one. Commitment. Well, that's a big word. It's a word that scares a lot of people. Right? The word commitment. Are you ready for a commitment? Let me tell you something today. What you're going to need faith in 2020, you're going to need a commitment to God. What you're going to need today. And you know what I mean? This is pretty good. You got a commitment to church, perfect service. Man, who knows? You got perfect sin so far. And a commitment is looking good. Bring it back today.
Amen.
And a commitment that you're going to have to make. Right? And let me tell you about this commitment, what he told us in Psalms, verse 37. Psalms 37. Not verse 37. Psalms 37. Verse 5. He said, commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Bring it, what's he going to bring to pass? I tell you what he's going to bring to pass. He's going to bring to pass all my burdens and all my troubles. And thank God, he didn't say that 3 years saying, he said they'll come to pass. That's the best advice anybody that you know that it's not here to say, it's going to die. But you're going to have to make a commitment today. He said, commit. Commit to work. Commit to walk. Commit to way. Commit to will. There's a commitment that you need to make to God going into this next year. You might say, Christian, why? Because I said why. Because you expect God to be with you. You expect God. You expect God to answer your prayer. Come on now. You expect God to take care of you. You expect God to provide for you. You expect God to keep that room on the shoulder or on the neck. You expect God to keep clothes on the back. You expect God to put food on the table. You expect God to let the keep gas in the car, keep that job going. You expect God to keep the heat working in the winter time, make you work in the summertime. I don't think this means that expectation of God. I want God to commit to walk with me every day of my life. He walks me out of here. I want God to make me make a guess what God wants you.
Amen.
God will commit to you. But let me tell you something. It's one of those commitments that you can be confident in. That you can, honey, you can take it to the bank. If you would commit your way to God, commit your walk, commit your work. How about commit your will? And I'm going to say, preacher, I thought it's going to be his will. It is his will. He's learned to understand his will and his will a lot. That's what he's wanting you to do today. Commit yourself. Let me tell you something, you can commit to some people in this life. You can commit to boys, you can commit to girls, you can commit to friends, you can commit to all things. You know what? They might not say committed to you. They can break vows, they can break promises, they can raise your family. People can commit to you. Let me tell you something, Dad. You know what? Your parents can commit something to you. Your kids can commit something to you. Oh, yes, Mom, Daddy, I've got to get to church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. They'll make it to you. And you know what they'll do? They will fail on their commitment. But let me tell you something, Dad. Get committed to one that will not lie. You that will not fail. You that will not mistake. You that will not make you fail. He said, I'll be with you into the end of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like that. He'll be with you into the end of the world. Why not commit to him? And ain't it something how we'll commit things on the outside? I can remember when my kids growing up, and you know what? They were playing sports. I always committed to try to have them in every game and every practice. I believe that. I told them that. I always told my kids, I said, if you're going to sign up for something, you're going to play for something, you're going to make a commitment to be there and give it your all every time you got it. I don't care if they ain't no good. If they ain't no Christian, they try. I want you to make a commitment to them. And I always think about that. Over time, we had to talk about the men to us. It never interfered with church. I'd always let them know, hey, we don't need no Sunday. We practice on Sunday. We practice on Wednesday. That's the time we give to the Lord right there. And you give, and let me just say this, you give the Lord more 2 days a week, too. But I'm not going to have anything to do with this world when it's time for God's time. I want my time to commit to God's time. And first time we talk about that, we're going to set aside some time to just be us and God. And I believe that. You need to make a commitment today. You need to make a commitment today to read the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good study for you too. And not just read the Bible, you want to make a commitment to study. Study, see what it's got for you. Read those verses. Go over them both times. Go to the verses in front of the verses behind them and see what God has got for you. Make a commitment to read your Bible.
Amen.
Alice got messed up, so pray for me. What would you make a commitment to pray for? Make a commitment to pray for. Make a commitment not just to ask God for what you need. Won't you make a commitment to pray for those around you? To pray for your church, to pray for your family, to pray for your neighbors. I tell you, we live in the church, we have to be praying for our country and praying for our president. I don't know what's going to happen or what's going on or how this thing's going to These men are not supposed to worry about her meeting. Because God is in control, and He's looking for a commitment to me, to pray, to study, to stay in His church, to raise my family in His church. How can I train a child in the way they can go? I need to bring them up. To God. Commit to Him and stay in there and hang with Him. Try God. Well, I'm trying, preacher. Keep trying. The devil ain't gonna make it easy for you to serve God. If some of you won't serve God, you think it's gonna be easy. Well, you're in trouble. The devil ain't gonna make it easy for you to come to church. He's not gonna make it easy for you to pray. He's not gonna make it easy for you to read your Bible. The devil's not gonna give you that time that you need to serve God. He keeps you distracted. It's so full of different things you need to do. Next thing you know, you need to pray. You need to study the Bible. He loves the fast pace of the world, but the devil. He's the devil loves it. Because he knows it's hard to make a commitment when you got everything else to do in your mind. I've learned if you just have a commitment to try, God will meet you on the other end right there. He'll meet you. I promise you, you can't commit nothing to God, He won't commit to you. He'll meet you. He'll be there for you. But then He'll be there in an hospital bed.
He sure is.
He'll be with you on your bed. He'll be with you at his job. He'll be with you going down the road. Make a commitment. Make a commitment. Say on the news last night, I don't know if anybody's family here or not, but I seen where a 46-year-old man died last night on Highway 36. Sitting here across the road, get somebody dead on him. He went to meet God. I don't know what kind of commitment he made while he was here on earth, but I tell you, Lord, there was a commitment there because God said, I'm ready to go. And it was his time to go. And he went to meet the Lord. Did he go to heaven? I don't know. I don't know. Not for his testimony. I don't know anything about him. But I'll tell you this right here. He was not saved, he wasn't. I sure don't believe in sugarcoating anything. If we're not saved, we're not going to heaven. It don't matter if it's his family or if it's my family. My kids ain't going to heaven because their daddy was called a preacher.
That's right.
I don't give them a free pass to come to heaven. They got to come to God. They got to set it here. And I can't pray to them to heaven either. Like so many other religions, but you can pray for anything. It takes some time to get that thing on with you and God. My Bible says, every man must bear his own burden. Hey, the thing you got to do is just you and God. God don't need my head and everything in Him and in my girl, do it. Every time God and us get together, God don't need my head in that time. Every time that God gets with God, He don't need my head in that time. I won't be a help right in hell, but I also know that the daddy only did so much, God can do it all. They're my kids, I can't commit to God. Make a commitment, Lord, in 2020. You can face it with confidence, you can face it with commitment, but you can also face it with cheerfulness. Preacher, how am I supposed to be cheerful about it? Why do you be cheerful about what God's done for you?
Amen.
You be cheerful about what He's done? Be cheerful about what He's doing. Be cheerful about what He's going to do. That kind of goes in the same boat of confidence, don't you? Cheerfulness! We shouldn't be dragging or being a Christian. This is not worth burning on the faces and dragging us. Hey, you know what? It's a hard time to be living life, but it's a good time to be a child of God.
Amen.
Be cheerful about it. Where's the Bible about to say? You say, that's all God did for you. He's been saying to God, he has to be a holy head. A man, He's forgiven you of all your sins. My sins are taken away from your life. I pray for that. He's going to forgive you what you've done. My Bible says that God forgives. He's faithful and just to forgive. If I can pray. If I can pray. That's something we can be cheerful about. Hope we're going to future hope for children who hope this morning. Cheerful. Last point. When you face 2020, with confidence, with commitment, with cheerfulness, this last one, when you go to Egypt, you get hold of it, the courage. The courage. Read another verse of Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 20. Philippians 1, 20. According to my earnest expectation, here's Paul talking, he town, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But that was all Moses. As always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Look what Paul goes on to say. Whether it be by life or by death. Whatever it is, he said, I'm giving it to God. He said that he was willing to die for his sake. Paul encouraged him. And look what Paul wanted to say in this verse. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, you know what? He said, it'd be better for me to go ahead and die and not have to worry about the troubles of this world. Because I'll be face to face with Jesus. He said, die is gain. I'm going to be here as long as you're going to be here. For my Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Everybody's going to meet God. Everybody's going to meet God. Everybody. What the preacher said one time? He said, you don't have to go to heaven if you don't want to. You don't have to go to hell if you don't want to. You can't stay here. This world will burn up. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet Him this morning? It's going to take courage to serve Him. What my Bible says, it's going to be courage today. Courage to stand for our faith. That is ready to stand. It's time. What are you going to do? You know, I know some of you are in the Bible and you're ready to make stuff like the Amen. Everybody says to our friends, they still perish. Let me remind you, they still perish.
Amen.
People saying, oh, he's just trying to start World War III and all that. Look, I don't know what's going to happen and all that. But I know what my friend is. If he does anything, I think he should know him. He does some good things. But God intervened with this man in our country. I believe him today. But God intervened with him and put him in our country. He killed Paris. And the problem is, we got more people talking bad about him and standing against the wrong things. And Hollywood's about made this shit. I can't stand this and listen to anything. But I'm in it, I'm telling you. And I try to pray for him. I do. I struggle with it. I'm trying to pray for California and London. And the next day, I'm praying God, I'll just wake up a little bit. And then I said this. First thing he told me, California's in the Bible. He said, I went down to the land of fruit and found nuts. That's exactly what California is. That's California. They have their own legislation. They don't say, God, I'm not sure if there's a Christian in California. I didn't hear one of them. But I'm just going to give you my faith. Unless God put me in California, if I was a Christian, I'd be getting out of there. People just don't understand. It's going to take courage to stand. And let me tell you something. When you stand for God, you're going to be laughed at. You're going to be mocked. The devil will tell you, you're such a fool for standing.
Right.
You're not standing up and testify. You want to get up and serve and raise your hand and give glory to God. When you sit back down, the devil will tell you, you're such a fool. They're all that. You better have the courage to serve God. I don't know what they think. I don't know what they think. And we're here to serve God. We're not here to worship each other. We're here to worship God.
Amen.
That's the one I'm saying to. That's the one I shout to. And they're saying, you have to come in here to get the good. I swing off on the chandelier. Just pray.
Yes.
And shout, God's so good. Church, you're going to have some faith. You have to have courage to live a separated life too. Not just for your faith, you stand on your faith, you have to live a separated life. I used to say that God told us to separate from Him. And you better separate Him. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I hate to tell you this, somebody's going to have to separate from your own family.
Right.
But then he preached one time in hell, and he said, I'll bring my fellowship to anything if I can bring my fellowship to God. And that spoke to me. And I started thinking, God, what is this? It's not fellowship with my sister, it's not fellowship with God, would you? What if it's my parents? What if it's my grandparents? And my love here, you know, I've told a lot of people, my grandparents carry on, even on those who are being God. But my grandparents are my best friend. I love them. I'm having to learn. I've had faith this year with some courage to stand on my faith and separate from some things in my life. Let me give you one more and I'm done. You better have the courage to finish your race, finish your course. Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And he said, I've kept the faith. That's what he wrote. And let me tell you something. Paul, he had a battle on his hands. Paul was in prison waiting to have his head cut off. But he would not know Jesus. And they said something. We talk about, oh, we stand for our faith. I'm ready to die for my faith. You can't ready to die for your faith. No, if you're not ready to die for your faith, you're not ready to commit to the Son of God every day. You ain't going to die for your faith if you won't live for it. Paul said, I'm ready to die. He said, I fought a good fight. Paul was perfect in all he did. I'm going to tell you something, but he served God with everything that he had. He said, I finished my course. Let me tell you this right here. I ain't going to be going nowhere if your course is done. How long will that be? I don't know. The best part of that whole verse wasn't that he fought the fight, but that he finished his course. He said, I have kept the faith.
Amen.
He didn't say, I kept my faith. He didn't say, I kept my faith. He said, I have kept the faith. What's the faith? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's believing in something that you can't see. 2020 is here. Whether you think you see it or not, you've seen it. And he says we need to face this year with confidence, with commitment, with cheerfulness, and with courage. We need to look to God more than we ever have to help us with whatever challenges come our way. I don't know what the future holds. And I know not everybody here this morning is a member of our church, but I tell you this, if you're here, you're a member of the family of God. What does this thing good to say here?
Amen.
If you're in His family, you're in my family.
Amen.
We're all family. That's what I like about folks say that. We are a family.
Amen.
We're in God's family. We're brothers and sisters, and He's our Father. We need faith. Family.
Amen.
Not scared. We're strong. Not half-hearted, but with commitment. Not dreary, not down with everything, but with cheerfulness. I'm telling you, we need to have some courage, we need to have some boldness to have out there. It's going to take boldness to serve God. It's going to take boldness. Let me tell you something. You might have to face some things in this world where you feel like you're the only one standing. But when you stand up for God, I promise you this, you'll stand with you. Let's all stand again. Mr. Crum, I'm glad you come play on the piano, please, man. Just whatever you want to play, just play. It's all right. I want to open these altars this morning. And I want to challenge you to come pray. And I want you to come pray that this year, 2020, will be one, but you'll be sold out to God. I wonder who will come this morning to make a commitment to God. Not a half-hearted commitment, but a commitment to God.
I will not come this morning and say, God, I want my confidence to be in you this morning. God, help me to find joy this morning. Maybe that's what you need. You need to find joy. Or maybe you're here today and you're just scared about a lot of things in life. Look, let me tell you something. I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm not going to look down on you this morning. There are some things that worry me. But I need to start worrying and praying. I've learned that when I let faith kick in, fear goes out the door. But if I don't have no faith, fear overwhelms me. Maybe today you just need some courage. I need somebody to pray for. What do you need today? Maybe you're here today above all these things. You need a Savior. You've never given your life to the Lord. What better day to get saved than today? Maybe you've got family that needs prayer this morning. Maybe God put somebody in front of you today that you just need to pray for. Would you pray for them? What if God put you in front of their face and they prayed for you? We need to pray for each other. We need to love each other. Would you just come and get around the altar? Preacher, looks like the altars are full this morning. Just come in and find your place and get in this morning. Maybe God told you to just come and put your hand on somebody and pray with you. Would you mind the Lord? That's all we want you to do is just mind God. Whatever He's laid on your heart, I want you to mind Him. Whatever you need this morning, would you just come and spend a little time talking to God? Praise God, I know what I need. Maybe He's waiting on you this morning to just come and have a little conversation. He's waiting to answer your prayers. Well, preacher, you told me God knows it's His heart. He already knows what I need. Yeah, but sometimes He just wants you to tell Him. What is this need this morning? Don't let the devil tell you that your need is your need. Let me tell you something this morning for 2020. Have this goal. Have this dream. We serve a big God. What do you need this morning? There's people down here praying. We're going to give them all the time they need to pray. What do you need to pray for this morning? Thank you.